Tales of a Métis Childhood by Antoinette Botsford. The summer I was 6, my brother and I went to stay with our grandmamère on her farm. Grandmamère, who knew we would be missing our parents, gave us plenty of jobs to do on the farm. One of mine, and my very favorite, was to take care of the chickens, grandmamère's prize poulet, as she called them in her French-Canadian accent. My job was to feed them, gather their eggs, and clean their nests. Doing all this, I began to understand what they were saying, and I loved listening to the speech of chickens. The rooster took care of his 12 poulets with a very, very good and judicious manner, but I could tell that he was particularly fond of one of them, and I used to call her Madame Poulet. Why, sometimes he would call her over when he found a particularly tasty morsel just for her to eat. He would say things like, "Come over here, my dear!" And she would reply, "Bawk, bawk, bawk, the bawks are better here, bawk, bawk, bawk." Well, one day, in that time of year we call Indian summer, when the sky is that piercing, intense blue and the leaves are just beginning to change, I saw the rooster pecking around under the hazelnut, and I heard him call, "Ar-ar, the hazelnuts have fallen on the ground!" The hens all looked up, but only Madame Poulet came running over. She began to peck vigorously at the fallen nuts, and I heard the rooster warn her, "Be careful, my dear! Don't swallow a hazelnut whole!" Nearby, my little brother Skipper was playing with his little red wagon, and I idly looked at him when suddenly the rooster squawked. He came rushing over to me. "Water! Water! She needs water!" And I understood that Madame Poulet had in fact swallowed a hazelnut whole. I rushed over to the pump, hoping to find some water in the pail beneath the spigot, because there was no running water in Grandmamère's house. But the pail was dry as a bone. I was still very small, and I reached up and tried to get the pump to work, but it was really hard. I couldn't make the handle move. The rooster looked at me, panic in his shining eyes, and I said, "Don't worry, Mr. Rooster. We'll get some water for her." Just then, my cousin Millicent sauntered into the courtyard.
"Qu'est-ce qui se passe? What's going on, Antoinette?"
"Oh, Millicent, Millicent, we need some water for the poulet. You see, she has swallowed a hazelnut, and she will choke if we do not give her some water."
"Don't tell me you're giving me that stuff about understanding the speech of chickens again."
"Oh, Millicent, please."
She looked me over. "What'll you give me for it?"
"Oh, whatever you want, Millicent."
"Quelque chose for my bridal outfit?"
"Oh, bridal outfit?"
Just then I remembered we were going to play wedding that day and Millicent was going to be the bride.
"Okay, Millicent, I'll get you something, but later, okay?"
"Now, or your silly chicken chokes." Just then I thought of something. It would be perfect. I rushed inside the house. I pulled open the bottom drawer of the bureau where Grandmamère used to keep the beautiful white lace tablecloth that I had watched her crochet all last winter vacation. It was lovely. It would be perfect. I pulled it out of the place where it had been so carefully wrapped in white tissue paper, and just then a shadow fell over me. Grandmamère.
"Antoinette, qu'est-ce que tu fais? What are you doing?"
Oh, Grandmamère, it is not for me, it is for the chicken."
"I do not understand."
I tried to explain to Grandmamère as best I could how I needed to get water for the chicken and how I hadn't been able to find any.
And Grandmamère shook her head and she said,
"Sois sage, Antoinette, put it away. And after that, you go upstairs. Tu n'as pas fait ton lit ce matin. You have not made your bed today.
I ran upstairs as fast as I could, but not fast enough to avoid hearing Grandma-Mère say, "And as for that poulet you say she's going to choke, do not worry about it. We were going to have poulet for dinner tonight anyway."
Oh, no.
I pulled the sheet over the otherwise still unmade bed, then looked around desperately to see if I could find something for Millicent's bridal outfit, and there it was. A snowy white curtain, decorated with little yellow daisies that Grandma-Mère had just finished making, folded neatly on the back of the chair. I seized the curtain, I stuffed it under my clothes, and ran down the stairs, looking both ways to see that Grandma-Mère wasn't watching. Millicent was still waiting by the pump.
"Will this do?"
She took the curtain from me. She eyed it one way and another, and then tentatively put it on her head. "All right. I suppose it will work. I will get you some water for your silly poulet." She walked over to the pump, and in no time at all, the pail was overflowing with fresh cold water. Now in the distance, the rooster had seen this, and he came rushing over. He was no dummy. He opened his mouth and bent over the water and sucked up, filling his craw. He rushed back to where Madame Poulet was lying with her feet straight up in the air, her eyes wide open and glassy. And I watched as he bent over the chicken and attempted to give her water from his own beak. But she didn't drink. The water just ran to the ground. The rooster looked at me, and I looked at him. "Don't worry, Mr. Rooster. We'll have a good funeral for her." No way were we going to eat his favorite wife for dinner. I called to my little brother, Skipper.
"Skipper, come over here. We need the red wagon for the funeral of Madame Poulet."
Skipper came over happily, glad to be a part of what for him would be the funeral game. But I did not think this was a game. I picked up the lifeless chicken and laid her carefully in the wagon. And the rooster, who understood everything, jumped right in. And by this time, the other hens decided to go along for the ride. I asked Skipper to keep a lookout to make sure that Grandma-Mère and Millicent did not see me disappearing with the chickens. I was heading for the boneyard. The boneyard was the place where they used to put all the bones of dead animals after they had been slaughtered, and that was where the eagles and ravens would go and pick them dry. But in a back secret part of the boneyard, I had my little private graveyard where I used to bury little birds and small animals that I would sometimes find dead on the farm. Madame Poulet would be joining this group of animals. I had my own secret path to the boneyard. Instead of going by the road, I would go in this little way that went through a tall field of waving golden grain, and it went to the ditch. And there was a tiny bridge over the ditch, just a little board 12 inches wide, just wide enough to pull the wagon across. It was my secret way. That was the way I would go, and soon I would be hidden behind a big willow tree. But not soon enough. Millicent caught up with us, despite Skipper's best efforts.
"Wait for me,"
she said.
"I get to be the priest. If she doesn't have a priest, your poulet will go to hell."
Oh, no way! Was Millicent going to be present at the funeral of my beloved chicken? I pulled the wagon even faster, hurrying to the little board bridge, thinking that once I crossed the ditch, I would pull up the bridge and she'd be stuck. I got to the bridge. I pulled hard, but it was such a narrow bridge, and I was so panicked that the back wheels slipped off and the whole wagon turned over, dumping its precious cargo of chickens into the now dry summer ditch. And I watched in horror as the chickens all fell out, flying around madly. And I saw Madame Poulet's lifeless head strike the hard, baked earth of the ditch when out popped the hazelnut. Suddenly she flapped her wings,
bawk, 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 bawk,
and the rooster began to crow.
Not dead!
Funeral's off, said Millicent. Now we can have the wedding. As you see, by this time she had caught up with us. She was ready for the wedding, all right. She was wearing a white sheet draped around her, and Grandma Mère's new curtain was pinned to her hair. I could see it already had a little tear in it and some dirt on it. The way it worked out, I was the priest for the wedding, Millicent was the bride, and Skipper was the groom. The chickens formed a somewhat inattentive congregation. By the time I pronounced them husband and wife, I could hear Grandma Mère calling in the distance.
Skipper, Antoinette, Millicent, venez manger.
Uh-oh. It was time to have lunch, and here we were out in the boneyard with all of Grandma Mère's chickens and Millicent wearing Grandma Mère's new curtain, torn and dirty on her head. Well, there was no hope for it. All the chickens piled into the wagon, and I led our little parade through the waving fields of golden grain to where Grandma Mère stood waiting for us on the back porch, her hands on her hips. I saw her eyes as they counted the chickens in the little red wagon. She looked at me.
Where's the poulet? You say she is choking.
She's all right now, Grandma Mère. Je vois, I see. And then she looked at Millicent. I see we have a mariée, a bride. And where did you get this costume? She said to Millie. And Millie looked at me. She gave it me. She said you didn't need it. A lie, a patent lie, but what could I do? Well, we all went inside and sat around the table, and Grandma Mère served us her good pea soup. But I couldn't eat anything. Not a thing. What good was it that we had saved the life of a chicken when we were going to eat chicken for dinner that night anyway? I sat there sadly. After Skipper and Millie had both finished a second bowl of soup, Grandma Mère looked at Millicent and she said,
Millicent?
Oui, Grandma Mère? I want
you to take that curtain and I want you to scrub it with my good lye soap. And I want you to sew up that tear with tiny stitches. And I do not want to hear one peep out of you.
Oui, Grandma Mère, said Millicent. And she got up and did as she was told. And then she looked at my little brother Skipper, and she said, And Skipper, I think maybe your wagon, she have a little loose wheel. Maybe you better go see how it is. And Skipper got up and went outside to tend to his wagon. And then she looked at me. Antoinette.
Oh, oui, Grandma Mère?
Antoinette. Those poulets. Do they all making good eggs now?
Oh, yes, Grandma Mère. All of them make good eggs almost every day.
Said Grandma Mère. And your little Madame Poulet, she make good eggs too?
Oh, oui, Grandma Mère.
Well, she said, it would be a shame to eat a chicken when she is still making good eggs, n'est-ce pas? I think we not be having chicken for some time to eat for dinner. Now run along and play. I went outside, sat down on the porch, was watching the chickens, who by this time were all under the hazelnut tree, and I heard the rooster say,
Be careful, my dears! Next time you won't be so lucky!
And that was when chickens talked.